I read from a contemporary English version of the scripture. Now the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was nailed to the cross. He's not here. God has raised him to life, just as Jesus said he would. Come, see the place where his body was lying. And now, hurry. Tell the disciples that he has been raised to life and is on the way to Galilee. Go there, and you will see him. That is what I came to tell you." And the women were frightened, and yet they were very happy as they hurried from the tomb and ran to tell the disciples. And here ends the gospel reading for this morning. Amen. Glory be to God.
The Gospel of Matthew account of this story of the women at the tomb that Pastor Clint just read. It's a toned down version, an account of the angels appearing to the women and giving them instructions. This is sort of an anticlimactic version that stands in direct contrast with the same story that appears in the Gospel of John. The John's account has all the elements of a vaudevillian melodrama. There are six characters: Mary Magdalene, Peter, the other disciple, that's the one Jesus loves, you remember, two angels, and, of course, Jesus himself. The main characters are ordinary people: a woman doing the best she can, a fisherman, and one guy with no name. The plot is overly dramatic, a real potboiler. Characters run on and off the stage. There's a missing body, mistaken identity, someone in disguise, and otherworld apparitions. The story is resolved by divine intervention, but there's no real end to the story. Now, Mary Magdalene is the hero of this version. She arrives at the tomb and sees that the stone has been rolled away. She runs to tell Peter and the other disciple that the body of Jesus is missing. Although, we have to wonder how she knows that, since she didn't actually look in the tomb. Peter and the other disciple engage in a foot race to get to the tomb, and they go inside. They're confused and scratching their heads. They go off. Mary, who ran up behind them, finally, looks inside the tomb, and she sees two angels. Now, how Peter and the other disciple missed spotting the angels in a small tomb is a mystery. But then, we know the disciples have always been slow-witted. It was an enduring wonder how Jesus was able to put up with them for 3 years. While Mary is talking to the angels, she unexplainedly turns around and sees someone she thinks is the gardener. Now, we know that's no gardener. It's Jesus, apparently in disguise. She finally recognizes him when he speaks her name. She reaches out to catch hold of him as if to keep him from going away again, but he says not to touch him because he is, in fact, headed out again. "Go tell the others," he says. And that's exactly what she obediently does. Now today, 2,000 years later, we have the advantage of knowing how the story ends. We know that Jesus comes back. We know that he ultimately goes away to be again with God. And we know that's the great good news. We know that this is a time to celebrate. And as Pastor Clint said, Christians in the early church really celebrated Jesus' resurrection from the dead. For them, this was a joy-filled time, a time to dance, to laugh, a time to sing at the top of your lungs. It was a time for joy. Today, There's a growing movement among American Christians that we should celebrate the joy of the resurrection for more than just on Easter Day. So the idea of Easter Monday morn was born. This is a holiday today that is celebrated in 125 countries. People hold parties. They play practical jokes on each other. We're not going to do something on Monday. However, today, for the second year here at the Church of the Palms, we honor the custom of Bright Sunday. So let's celebrate and laugh together. Ha ha ha. Good start. Now, a pastor was speaking to a group of second graders about Jesus when one student asked, "What did Jesus say right after he came out of the grave?" The pastor explained that the Gospels do not tell what he said. The hand of one little girl went up. She said, I know what he said. He said, ta-da! That's probably what he said. Clint, do you know what kind of car is in Genesis?
A car in the Bible? I don't know.
Well, it says in Genesis that God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden in a fury. Clint, did you hear about the minister that was really boring? One Sunday he told the congregation he was leaving for another church and that it was Jesus' will that he should go.
No? What happened?
The congregation got up and sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." We hope that doesn't happen here. And Clint, do you know why some preachers would make good martyrs?
No. Why would some preachers make good martyrs?
They're so dry they would burn well. Oh, boo. Did you hear about the people at the cemetery on Memorial Day? A little boy asked his mother why some graves had flags on them. She explained, "Those are the ones that died in the service." He replied, "Was that the morning or the evening service?" And then the cannibal. There was a cannibal who went to a witch doctor, saying his stomach hurt. The witch doctor asked, "What have you been eating?" And the cannibal said, "Well, we captured these little bald guys wearing brown outfits." The witch doctor said, "How did you cook them?" "We boiled them." He said, "Ah, that's the problem. They're friars." Oh. Got you on that one, didn't I? So there was a visitor to a church who heard the pastor announce that their prison quartet would now be singing. The visitor wasn't aware of any prison in the vicinity and was even more puzzled when four members of the congregation approached the altar. Then the pastor introduced them. "This is our prison quartet," he said, "behind a few bars and always looking for the key."
Ta-da!
You're slow. Clint, did you hear about the church that had mice? The congregation had a big debate about how to get rid of the critters.
What did they do?
They made them all members. Haven't seen them since.
Okay, now it's my turn. I have three proofs that Jesus was a woman.
You're kidding.
No, hear this. First, Jesus fed a crowd at a moment's notice when there was virtually no food.
Okay.
Second, he kept trying to get a message across to the bunch of men who just didn't get it. And third, even when he was dead, Jesus had to get up because there was still work to do.
Hey.
Ta-da!
Point well taken, Clint.
Judy, I'm feeling sad today. My uncle was mugged and shot the other night.
Oh, Clint, I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
Yes, well, fortunately, he wears a Bible in his left front pocket. Yeah, and it gave him something to read while he was dying.
Ooh, boo.
Oh.
So a good woman died. And so St. Peter put her in charge of the pearly gates. He told her the way to get in heaven was to be able to spell one word, and that word was love. Then her husband died. When he came to the gate, he told her that at her funeral, he had met this beautiful young woman and took her out for dinner and drinks. And then on the way home, he died in an accident. He then asked how he was going to get in the pearly gates. She said, spell one word, Czechoslovakia. Can you spell Czechoslovakia? So a burglar goes to a house late at night and starts robbing it. He's just getting going when he hears a voice say, Jesus is watching you. He discovers the speaker is a large parrot. The parrot looks at him and says, what's your name? The burglar says, be quiet, you dumb parrot. You're so smart. What's your name? The parrot replies, Clarence. The burglar laughs. What kind of people name their bird Clarence? The parrot replied, the same kind who would name their Rottweiler Jesus. And so we celebrate the resurrection of our beloved Jesus, the promise of life after life, and the everlasting care and grace of our Lord God. Hear now the words of our faith of gladness and joy from the Old Testament, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord God is in your midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing as on the day of a festival. Amen and amen.